Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey Wisdom Podcast, everyone. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and today I'm with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is Morgan Matthews from Matthews Motors.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. This is so exciting.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. A little bit of late notice to bring you on, but I'm so glad you were able to make it.
Oh, yeah.
So before we get super into all the conversations and asking you about your life, we are drinking on some Monkey Shoulder, which we let you pick out. It's that time where we've drank a lot of whiskey, and now we're trying to drink through some of these bottles. So if you guys didn't know, Monkey Shoulder is like a blended malt whiskey, malt scotch.
Scotch, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
So technically it's from Scotland. I don't know. Everybody.
It's very tasty.
Is it?
Yes.
I think it's good. Every time I've had it, besides like we had it straight here once, I typically have it in a mixed drink.
Yeah. When we brought on a few people that have the master cocktail makers, they said that Monkey Shoulder is a good mixed drink type of liquor, especially for a scotch, because typically you don't want to be mixing scotches with other flavors. Yeah. But this is one of the very few scotches that has the flavor profile that's able to be mixed with others. Oh. So, yeah, fun fact for the day. There's your whiskey and wisdom. Cheers.
Cheers. I actually don't know that much about alcohol, but it's very interesting to hear all the details.
That's what happens when you're 21.
28.
Closer to 21 than both of us. So,
I actually lost interest in drinking at 21. That's kind of weird and opposite of most people.
I don't know. I feel like in the South, that's very common. Like everyone, we do things prior to 21 and you're like,
I waited.
Yeah. Like, one of the few then. All right.
I had an older brother that was really fun. So went to hang out with him in college. So
that makes a difference. Right.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Morgan. I grew up outside of Raleigh in Clayton, North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
Grew up there my whole life. We actually had a beach house at Carolina Beach my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, riding down here on the weekends, we would ride past UNCW and that was like my dream school. So when it came time to go to college, I applied to UNCW and I got accepted with a lot of effort. That SAT, that is challenging to people that have extreme ADHD.
Oh yeah. I'm sure. Tell me about it.
So got through the SAT, got into UNCW, and ever since I've lived here, so it's been like 10 years in Wilmington. My dad opened a car dealership literally the year I graduated college in 2017.
Nice. Oh, wow.
That was not what I studied in college.
What did you go to college for then?
I went to college for communication studies.
Oh, okay.
I actually wanted to be a journalist, a reporter. Oh, wow. I wanted to climb the ladder to be an anchor one day.
Yeah.
But then when my dad built the dealership, he was like, please come sell cars for me. You'd be so good at it.
Yeah.
And so I jumped right into that. It was probably one of the most challenging jobs I've ever done in my entire life. Selling cars is hard because you're dealing with so many different kind of people.
Right.
And they come with their guard up. So you have to build that relationship right off the bat. But mm-hmm. That's besides the point. But yeah, I worked there for a while and still there in the dealership world.
That was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you too is, one, how'd you get started in the dealership? So you kind of answered that question. Yes. But since you have answered that question, the next question that goes along with it is with so many people thinking of like the horrible salesperson, right? Which kind of goes along with like the used car salesman. Like what was one of the ways that you were able to get people to kind of put their guard down, to kind of build their trust and to understand kind of what they were really looking for?
Well, you know, when you come on the lot, building a relationship, I tell everybody that comes to work for us, you know, that positive attitude and building that relationship right off the bat with somebody makes all the world of difference because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're talking about football, when the guy walks up with the Panther shirt on and you're getting the topic off the vehicle, their guard comes down. They want to talk about football.
Right.
And even if I don't care about the Carolina, you know, Panthers, or I do care about them, but NC State and Carolina, that's what I'm talking about. Carolina. Yeah. When they come on the line, I actually tell them they have to take that off if they want to try to come inside. But no, building a relationship with people is very important, and a positive attitude, greeting them right at the door and making them feel welcome right away,
right,
and not feel pressured.
So I think that's something that you do good of right now, especially having that communications background, right? Is, at least for me anyway, when I first think of Matthews Motors, I think your face, because you're on a lot of things when I think of Matthews Motors.
Yeah.
And I think you've done a really good job of kind of taking that guard down a little bit before they walk into a quote unquote nasty word, like a used car dealer. Right.
Yep.
So like, I think that's something that's really made you stand apart. Do you agree?
Yeah. I think, you know, more women being in the car business helps.
I agree.
Know?
Yeah.
My mom, she's the owner of the dealerships.
Oh, yeah.
So I've learned a lot from her and other powerful women that have been in the dealership world.
Mm-hmm.
People tend for some reason to trust women a little more in that dealership world, because the men have given it such a bad stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely take note of that stereotype and try to steer away from what people think.
So. I love how you take that aspect and kind of flip it on its head, right? Because there's so many people that I've talked to in the past that are women in the car dealership industry, and they're like, oh, it's so horrible. It's such a man's world. And so I'm sure you felt that too, but by taking that difference and what could be perceived as a weakness and turning it into a positive and being like, I'm not that man, that sleazy used car salesman, right? And flipping it, you've really made it your own and kind of taken ownership of it.
Yep.
So I think that's incredible.
And we're picky with who we hire. You know,
yeah,
we're not hiring the guy who's been at all 6-7 dealerships in town.
Right.
We like to hire younger guys that want to learn and grow and, you know, grow within our company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We hire from within. We don't want to bring someone, you know, out that hasn't been to Matthews Motors and hire them as our finance manager. We want to hire the sales guy who's been there for 3 years and done amazing. We actually promoted from within recently, this guy, Wes. He's killing it. He's on our finance team. So we are very picky with who we hire. We want someone with a positive attitude. That is like number one. You cannot teach attitude.
Right. You got that right.
I like to hear that. So we were talking a little bit earlier before. One, you said your family's been in the dealership business for how many years now?
So we've owned Matthews Motors, or my dad started Matthews Motors 30 years ago. But he worked at other dealerships in Raleigh before he started his own company.
Nice.
So he worked Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah, everyone knows Capitol Boulevard
in Raleigh. He was up there selling Pontiacs.
Oh, no way.
Gosh. First, like, I don't even think about Pontiac anymore. Like, when you say it, my head automatically goes to like a vintage car.
Right.
And then I realize I'm like, no, they still make cars. They're just not talked about as much anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So was the first dealership up in Clayton then? Or was the first? Okay. So when did it move to Wilmington?
So we started off in Clayton in a little like trailer, double wide trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually still there, which is kind of cool.
Oh,
our
wow.
brother actually worked in there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then we built a big dealership right beside it, tore some trees down. So that's where our main store is out of the four dealerships. Then we have one in Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Yep.
My dad grew up on the Air Force Base there, Seymour Johnson, right up the street from the Goldsboro location, which is our smallest one. And then in 2017, we built the Wilmington store here. And then we brought in our truck center right down the road.
So we
have a truck center too.
But I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that a couple. I remember when they built it and I was like, are they moving?
We're actually renting that building, so we don't own that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we've actually tried to get the truck center kind of closer to our location because it's towards the other side of Market Street.
Right. Yeah, it is.
But we love it. We love the trucks.
So for those who are stupid like me sometimes, when you say the truck center, you're talking about typical like civilian style trucks, not like 18 wheelers.
Not 18 wheelers, 2500, 3500s. We have those sometimes.
Yeah.
But our main purpose at the truck center is we like modify vehicles.
Oh,
we do lifts, rims, tires, accessories, bed liners, all that. And we have our trucks for sale out front that we may have lifted. So just kind of, it's another lot to kind of store some of our inventory also.
Okay.
So it's a multi-purpose place.
Oh, neat.
So
that makes sense. Like I've always wondered, one, where to get that stuff done because I'm not mechanically inclined. And two, I'm like,
Chris trying to get his Subaru lifted.
We don't dabble in Subarus.
So surprisingly enough, Subarus are actually meant for cross country, not mine, but like I've seen them racing all the time and they have really good suspensions. I like the height of my car. If it's a lot higher than my last one was. Yeah. I had a Chrysler Sebring.
Sebring. Mm-hmm.
And that thing was like sitting in the water anytime it rained in town. Like I was like, oh, hey, I hope I don't get drowned out while trying to ride.
And when you go over a curb, you have to go sideways.
Right.
It wasn't that low.
I'm like, what is the purpose in this car? Yeah.
Just kidding. Like you can't go fast in it, especially down here. Cause if it's sitting too low, you're going to hit some pothole and mess up your car. Don't need that. But
this is true.
You're with the dealership, your traditional one that you're working at, Matthews Motors. What do you do now?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
So what I do now, I focus a lot on the marketing and the social media. I write the radio scripts that I do and the television. Oh, cool. Me and the television crews get together and write the scripts for the TV commercials that we do. I go out to events. Tonight I'm going to a Pause for People event.
Oh, yeah.
So we sign up for a lot of events and sponsorships, and I run all the social media pages and create content. I like really love to create content. Editing videos is like my favorite thing. So I've done that since I was in like seventh grade. Editing videos.
Better you than us. We'll make this a quick plug. We actually hired Sway Creations, who the owner was from Wilmington, moved up to, she's now in Charlotte. Yeah. But yeah, so she does all of our content creation and editing and stuff. So like clearly we get enough content. We just need someone to edit it for us. Yeah. And that was cool to do that too.
Yeah. I like editing the reels and the TikToks of like cool vehicles that come in, and we've had like the butterfly doors and trucks that are lifted and minivans. We have it all. So
yeah, that's cool.
That's kind of what I do day to day.
I like that. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like unless that's your main job, it's so hard to do it on the side. Like there's so many things to learn. And I applaud everybody who's in full content creation.
I know. Yeah. I kind of learned some of that in college too. So I kind of took, you know, communication has such a broad, you know, advertising, marketing is all underneath communication.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you learn a lot about, you know, content and branding yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I focus on is our brand.
I like that.
So how's that been for you, kind of taking what you went to school for, which was more so like communications and journalism, and building it into the family business?
It's been great. You know, when you grow up in a family business, you always have to find a niche. You know, you have to find something you're good at. My mom always told me, she's like, if you're going to own this business one day, you have to know many things in the business. Yeah. So I guess having a communication major, learning how to communicate with everybody in the dealership, everybody has different personalities, you know, the mechanics are very different than the ladies in accounting.
Yeah.
So learning how to communicate with everybody in the dealership and making them feel like they belong and they're special and that they bring forth a lot of, you know, value to the business. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm mostly good at.
So being part of that family kind of business and kind of orientation, what is one of the larger struggles that you've had kind of growing up in that?
Growing up in this family business, growing up in a family business, you never escape, you know, the business. Like
that's true.
On the weekends, we'll be at my beach house having fun, and me and my mom and brother are sitting around like talking about what we need to change, what we need to fix. You're never going to get away from that. And the more you succeed, the more people want to like drag you down. Yep. The more people want to be hateful online or, you know, come after you for something. So trying to stay positive, you know, with things that come at us sometimes is difficult. But my mom's such a strong-minded person. It's nice to have that and lean on that when we are faced with like difficulties.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I was telling you before we got onto the podcast that you're probably one of the most recommended people that we wanted, that people have wanted onto the podcast. So with that being said, one of the questions that we have for you is, what advice would you give young women struggling with their self-image and confidence because of social media pressures? Just what kind of good advice would you give them?
I just kind of think back to what I've been through being on social media for like 15 years, is to love yourself. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, women nowadays, they look around and they compare themselves to women on social media, and it's to love yourself and know that you are enough. And if you know that, you don't seek validation anywhere else.
Very true.
So, you know, every day I look in the mirror and I remind myself of who I am. And if you know who you are, then nobody can change your mind. So I think, you know, social media should be fun.
Yeah.
You know, it is not real life. I want people to know that it's not the truth. People post their best moments. And so I want people to know that when I post my best moment, that's not always how I am.
It kind of goes into a very similar thing that we're actually having a summit for the Cargo District Studios, but I was watching a summit based on online business owners. And when I was on that too, they spoke very similar to what you just said, is if you can attack social media and not look at it as the negative kind of realm that a lot of people see it as, and like the kind of where all of the hate spews from. But if you can take a look at it and see it from your own personal perspective and being confident within yourself, that it can be one of the best places to grow and one of the best places to create community.
Yep.
But
the people though that are themselves, that really, you know, stay true to who they are, they're the ones that people actually pay attention to and tune exactly. into. Yep. The more times that I've posted like vulnerable, truthful moments, people are like, I relate. But yeah. It took a lot of courage for me to put myself out there and be like, this is who I am and this is what I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
other people were like, where'd all that content go? You were talking about that forever. Where'd it go?
Yeah.
And I didn't know people were paying attention.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm glad you brought that up too, because one of our mutual friends, Catherine Bruner, running for city council.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes. One of the things that she did most recently is she did a ride along with Wilmington PD.
I saw that.
And so she did a before and after. And that was something that really struck me, like almost personally to the core. And one, it was being friends with her, but the other part of it is just being a human being and knowing kind of what she went through. So the first stuff is like, hey, like super excited. I'm going on this ride along. I'm so excited to see like what's going on. And then for her, it was hours later, but for us, it was seconds later seeing it and just seeing like how much she was drained going through that, and just being able to look at it as a human being and what she personally went through during that time, just kind of like hit more of a, like a nerve for most of us that had the opportunity to see that. And kind of goes back to what you said too, is just showing that vulnerability, like that true vulnerability of it being yourself, and what you are able to see on an emotional level, on a human level, was super powerful for me. And I think it kind of goes back to exactly what you were saying too, just being that vulnerable self is what really truly actually connects.
Yes. And it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, especially with, you know, people will judge you whether you're doing good or bad.
Right.
You know? Might as well do you.
Yeah.
Might as well be who you are, because someone's not going to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Okay.
I miss the days of MySpace. That tells you how old I am. I'm like, because back then, like, yes, you could fake it, but it was more so like, hey, these are my friends.
Yep.
And then this is what I'm thinking about. And then you
and then you went and you ranked your friends on the top 8.
Like, hey, I'm like, all right, this is how you knew somebody was in a bad mood. You know, somebody moved it from here to here. But it was just like, it was more carefree, a little bit more fun back in the day. And then as soon as Instagram popped up, everyone's like, well, I got to be compared to this person. Yep.
I actually like Instagram because like you can hide likes and hide all this stuff. It's like you don't get value by likes. You know, you're how pretty you are isn't determined by how many likes you get. So the fact that can be hidden now, it's like people are posting what they want to post.
Yep.
You know,
and it kind of goes back to that point too, is people are so wanting to be part of the crowd that there was a person we brought on the podcast before too. And she was like, hey, watch what happens. Hide your likes. And when other people can't see the likes and they're like, oh, I'm one of the first people. I don't want to like something that no one else has liked. But if they don't, if they can't see it, they're like, oh yeah, this is awesome.
Yep.
And your likes go up because they're no longer part of the crowd. Like, it's crazy how like the psyche is on social media.
Yep. It
really is.
Very interesting.
Oh, I just look back and I'm like, it's just ridiculous. Everyone comparing themselves, which is kind of sad. But
I've actually been trying to take a mental break from social media recently. Just there's so many different advices trying to be given right and left.
Oh, yeah.
You know, different kind of people, different perspectives. It's draining after a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, God, you're all I care about, your perspective.
Right. I'm glad you bring that up, too, because that was something that I just recently had to come to terms with myself, too. Is I was trying to grab all of like the best advice from all of these different places. And I was getting overwhelmed with what's the best advice and how can I best grow myself through this person and this person telling me what to do. And then, oh, there's this other influencer that's telling me what to do.
Yep.
So for you, at what point did you kind of come to terms with, you know what, this is what I really need to focus on. Like, God, what was the most kind of determining factor for you to kind of focus on what was most important?
What do you mean? Like when referred to what?
Because I feel like you kind of went through the same type of thing that I went through. Just kind of trying to take everything in all at once. Yeah. What was like that one moment where you're like, you know what, this is where I needed to focus on.
Sometimes you get to like a low point in life, mm-hmm. where I've always been like a big Christian. Like my family, we grew up going to church. We're big believers in God, yeah. you know? And when I start feeling that low moment, I know that I don't need to be surrounded on social media with all this advice and all these things that like aren't true to what I think and what I believe. So I kind of surround myself with people that are like-minded, people that are positive, like Catherine, you know,
right.
people that instead of strangers giving me advice, I usually try to hone in on the friends and family that make me feel loved
true.
And build me back up. But, you know, God is definitely the number one person or was a human, Jesus,
yeah,
to help me feel better.
Yeah. I feel like that's what I've done too in the past is like, you got to find that circle. I mean, sometimes you'll find them online because I know quite a few people, like we had Lucky Shots on, like mm-hmm. he met a bunch of people online and they kind of pushed him and helped him grow to where he is now. And then other people, you could find somebody locally and actually sit down and talk to them. But I think especially as you transition from like college into like your true, like your young adult self, finding a good circle of people who will hold you accountable, but also like boost you up what you need. Cause if you're just looking online, it'll definitely help you hit low points a lot faster. And you got to have those people around you to help you up.
My new thing right now is trying to live in the present. The phone needs to stay in the room after work for a couple hours, trying to learn how to just stay, you know, in nature and go for a walk and sit on my patio and hang out with my cat. Cause you know, time's a ticking, you know, on that phone can wait.
Oh yeah. That was actually something my wife started doing recently too. Social media can be good for some things, but you have to know when to hone it in, right?
Yes.
So one of the things that I saw on social media is there was this woman that said that she took 40 days and would leave her phone at the house and would just go on a 1 mile walk.
Wow.
And so I sent it to my wife and I was like, hey, this is something that you've talked about. This is something that I saw. Take it for what it's worth. If it's worth something for you, go ahead and do it. So she's been doing that for a few days now. She leaves the phone at home and she goes on a 1 mile walk, just herself and God and nature. And
I love that.
I've already noticed like a huge difference. And she's noticed a difference just a few days that she's done it of just, you know what, completely unplugged. Cause typically what she's done and what I've done before too, when we would go on walks, we would take it, we put a podcast in or we'd listen to music and just having everything else bombard us other than just what's out there in the universe. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess where that's going question wise for you, where do you get your strength from?
As we mentioned earlier, you know, God has been is the main strength
right.
for me. So I just, you know, recently I was actually supposed to get baptized on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
It got canceled. So this next Sunday I'm getting baptized in the ocean. Amazing. My dream. So
that's
excited.
So cool.
I know.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. I lost my dad. I think I mentioned this to you in 2019. Oh. He passed away to a heart attack. He actually was the owner of the businesses. And so when he passed away, my relationship with God actually grew a lot bigger. You know, God wrapped his arms around me and helped me and my family get through that time. But, you know, my mom's always been a huge role model. She was always a big Christian. And so I get strength in her too. So she's helped me know God's love at a young age. And I hope to pass that on to my kids one day.
Yeah.
But I get strength from my mom and some of my friends that inspire me. I would say God is my number one.
That's awesome. So for you, and this may be a loaded question and something larger than what the podcast is really kind of going for, but a lot of people could take that situation and kind of what you went through and say, how could there be a God because of this?
Yeah.
For you, how were you able to dive into it and kind of double down on it? Because I'm in the same kind of boat that you are, but how were you able to do it personally?
I think, you know, when you seek God, you feel him and you feel his presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, when my dad passed away, I was the one in the family that had the strength. It was kind of crazy. Like, I'm usually the more sensitive, like kind-hearted, tender person. Mm-hmm. So I was the strong one out of my mom and brother. Sorry, mom and brother. But yeah, I asked God for help, you know, and he gave me help. He gave me friends. He gave me a community. So my friends from college reached out. And, you know, I think the more you seek God, the more you lean into him, the stronger you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, you get super strong by accident.
Right.
So I think, you know, you were saying your wife goes on a walk for an hour or a mile walk, you know, and talks to God. The more you pour into God, the more peaceful you are.
Yeah.
So
it's really neat and interesting that you say that too, because after we had kind of started the conversation of bringing you onto the podcast and you'd have been recommended a few times to come on. So I didn't even know we were going to have this conversation. And what Catherine asked me later on is, she was like, you don't have to answer this right away because this is kind of more philosophical question, but where do you find your peace? And I think for a lot of people, that would be a really hard question. Like, where am I trying to find peace in my life? But for me, that was something like very easy to answer. And it's because I went through a few things that were harder for myself in high school, but where I got a lot of my peace was from kind of just giving that up to God and just saying, hey, you know what? I don't have control of this anymore. I just need to give this up and give it to you and allow you to guide where my strength comes from. So it was really interesting that kind of all came together. And I don't believe anything just happened at all. Yeah. It all kind of happens all at one time. So I think it was really interesting that we started talking. Catherine asked me that question.
And
then Catherine gave me the questions to ask you as well that all kind of made that same connection.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Some people, like, they sit around and wonder, like, God, are you really there? And it's like, try.
Right.
You know, just try. What's the worst that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
Your life gets better.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I have a non-serious question.
Yes. You
know, we always get real deep and then I show up with like a silly question. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
I like hazelnut.
Ooh.
I know. I actually have been really into gelato lately. And there's a place near Wrightsville Beach.
Which one?
It's a pizza place. It's
okay.
Isn't it like the really expensive apartments on the left before the bridge?
Okay.
The people who own it might get offended.
You're like, I don't know that exact
It's a
name.
Pizza place, but it's a gelato place also.
Okay.
But okay. I know exactly what you're talking about now.
It's really cute on the inside, but hazelnut. Love it. It's like Nutella kind of.
I keep driving by there and I'm like, I need to go there sometime. So I'm glad you're bringing that up. So. Gives me a reason to go and stop by.
What about you?
Oh, my favorite. So Boom Bilotti is released. They always do like seasonal flavors and they always catch me and I'm like, I hate you because I find the flavor right as it's going out. But they did a caramel ice cream with caramel in like actual drizzled inside of it. And I literally for like a month would show up like once a week and just buy like a like their small like quarts or whatever. Like, yeah, that's what I need.
My stomach would hurt for like 2 weeks.
Oh, it totally it is not good for my stomach. But I always knew, I'm like, hey, you know, you get a treat, figure
of
it
course.
Out.
treat yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's worth that, a little bit of pain for that pleasure.
Well, and so. Once I eat it for like a month, then I'm done with it for like six.
That's so. Okay.
So one of the other podcasts that film and record inside of this studio too is What's Up Wilmington, and they did a collab with Boombalotties. So if you're listening, Boombalotties, we would like to do a collab with you too, with maybe a whiskey type of flavor. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Interesting.
This wasn't planned. This was completely off the cuff. Like
that's what Chris is for. So go all the way down the weird path and then bring you back. So my real question for you is, like, what would success look like for you? Like with business or in your personal life?
Well, of course, I'd love for our family's business to be successful. Mm-hmm. I want to continue the legacy that my dad, you know, built, and I want to continue building it. So keep that going, you know, and keep it around, you know, God, centered around God. We do cars for churches. I never mentioned that, but we give money to local churches. So I want to see that, you know, keep going. And I think success to me is having an amazing family and some awesome kids one day. And I think time freedom is important too in life, not just working to death where you don't enjoy time.
Yeah.
So people say, what does like success mean? I think success is success in business and success in life, like time freedom.
I'm with you on that one. Having some free time is definitely what I need in life.
I think like a lot of people like to hate on like the younger crowd for wanting to work a little less and enjoy a little more time freedom. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, when you get to be 70 years old, you'll look back and be like, I worked from 9 to 6 every day and I never got to have freedom.
Yep.
So
right.
I guess I crave that a little more.
Yeah. It's always interesting too, especially being like, I'm in the finance world myself. So a lot of what my clients have always been striving for was that dollar amount, right? So to have like the financial freedom, but it's really interesting because there's definitely a balance of financial freedom and that time freedom, right? Where in the grand scheme of things, comparatively speaking, to build that financial freedom is so much easier than building the time freedom because when you're born, you only have a certain amount of time that you have on this earth.
Yeah.
Like it's easy to go out and make money, but you can never make the time back. So I think that's something that's really important.
That was pretty much the point I was making to you. Right. Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day because I have a friend and her and her husband, they're still younger. They're about my age, like in their 30s. And they worked super hard in their early 20s. And now they travel.
Yep.
And like every 2 to 3 months, they're hitting up a new country, trying something new. And I'm like, now that I look back, I was like, it makes way more sense to travel when you're younger and have fun and hit up new countries because all those things you see in movies and TV and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, they're in the club, they're traveling, they're hitchhiking, doing all this stuff. I am not trying to do that when I'm 55, 60. I would much rather want to do that like in my late 20s and 30s.
Same here.
I do have one last question myself too for you before we sign off for the day. Okay. If you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I would tell her to stay true to who she is and not let other people sway how she feels about herself. Mm-hmm. I think I let too much of the outside world tell me who I am. And you know, the older I get, the more I'm like, I know who I am and you're not going to tell me. So I think, you know, when you're young, you're so like easily affected by everybody around you. Mm-hmm. And so I would tell her to stay true to who she is.
That's great.
Just like the song. And I'm not going to sing it because we're not trying to get copyright, but
I think we would just lose cliche.
No, we actually haven't had that on the podcast before. And we've asked that since day one. So actually been the original on this
for that answer. About that.
I would know if someone else had said something similar to that because in my head, as soon as you said it, I was like, I just kept singing, be true to you. And I was like, oh, Jennifer's going to love this.
So
if only you could have the same mindset you have when you're 30, when you were 16.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I bet people say that. My mom's 60. I bet she could wish she could say that like when she's 28.
Exactly.
That'd be interesting. Like, you know, I always see that question. It's like, would you rather go back in time to like be in a 12-year-old and know everything that you know right now? Or would you rather jump forward in time to like 10, 20 years and have all the money that you need? It's like, well.
Well, if you had the knowledge at 12, you could get the money.
Let's think about this. I could go back to being 12. Man, I'd have so much more money right now.
We had someone on recently, Spike Cohen, who was talking about Bitcoin. And he was like, oh, every time that Bitcoin got brought up to him, he was like, oh, this thing is a scam. And when, so when he asked him, like, if you could tell your younger self, what would it be? And so the joke of it was, if your future self came back to you at that point too, to tell you like, hey, Bitcoin's not a scam, you'd be looking at your future self going, whoever this person is, this is a scam.
Well, so that's cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't predict that.
Exactly.
It's all over the place. Do you accept cryptocurrency for cars?
No, not yet. Maybe in 20 years.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
And North Carolina is kind of
slow on that too. Bitcoin, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I take Bitcoin for jewelry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Reed's Jewelers was actually one of the first jewelry stores to accept Bitcoin.
Wow. So,
fun fact.
We're ahead of the game.
Is it still succeeding?
Bitcoin? I mean, it's
what do you mean by succeeding? It depends on when you bought it. Bought it last year.
Is it
year.
Going up? No. Yes. Is it going up?
In general, okay. There is a trend upwards.
Yes.
So how can more people find you and your company?
You can find us on Facebook. We have 3 dealerships on Facebook.
Okay.
Matthews Motors Wilmington. Look that up. And then our Instagram is Matthews Motors NC. So Perfect. Our Instagram, I post a lot on there, Matthews Motors NC.
Okay.
Yes. Great. Cool.
So that's one of the best ways to find you and best way to support you?
Yeah. My family's business.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Love it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It was fun. It was short, sweet. Learned a lot.
Yeah. We're able to get the super serious questions and also the super fun questions.
If you need a car, come see me.
Absolutely. We'll do.
There you go. Thank you guys for following us and supporting us. As per usual, like, comment, share, subscribe, download. Leave us a 5-star review. If you ever go to Matthews Motors, leave them a 5-star review. Always helpful in the Google algorithm and for Spotify for us. So yeah, we'll catch you guys the next one.
Cheers.
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 There you go.